Well, good afternoon to all of you and to those on the webcast. My son, Tim, works with the AV equipment there in Cincinnati. And one time he came up to me and he said, because he was here visiting one time and we had a little bit of difficulties with the AV equipment. And he told me, he said, "Dad, stay away from them. You do not know what you're doing." They do know what they're doing. Don't bug them. Don't get involved with it. Just stand back. And so I learned a big lesson. Just stay away. So I thank all of those of, involved in getting this all together. We were fine with the sound here, but it was the sound going to the webcast. And we've had to do some configurations from where we were last week because it was all a built-in system and now we had to go back to our system and some technicalities that I don't understand all we're able to put into place. So we're grateful that this is all working, or hopefully it will be working. So in our last Bible study, we saw the beginning of the persecution of the church. And the church fled to different areas. We saw that in Acts 8 in verse 1, but that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. But also we saw that in Acts 1 verse 8 that Jesus wanted them to preach beyond Jerusalem and to go into Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So I have this map up here, and we'll be looking at it as we go through this Bible study. But let's look at Matthew 10 verse 5. Matthew 10 and verse 5. And this is when Jesus first told the apostles what they were to be doing. They were chosen from verse 1 through verse 4. And then in verse 5 of Matthew 10, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, nor into a city of the Samaritans,'" and that was at that time, "'but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" So eventually, in some further Bible studies, we'll be looking at the traditions of where the apostles did preach. But today, in this study, we will look at where Peter went. So after Paul's calling and his conversion, in Acts 8 and 9, we find peace from the persecution. And we'll pick up the story now where Peter was preaching in Acts 9, verse 31. So let's look at Acts 9 and verse 31. "The churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." So, on the map, we find the areas of Judea, which was around Jerusalem, Samaria, in the center area, and then Galilee up north. Sea of Galilee, and Galilee is where many of the apostles were from originally. So that is where Peter traveled, in that whole area. As it says there, there was peace in those churches. So in verse 32, and also remember what Peter had told Simon there in Samaria, that Simon was in the gall of bitterness, and so there were other converted members in that whole area of Samaria. But let's look at some specifics here in verse 32. "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all the parts of the country, he came down to the saints who dwelt at Lydia." So here's Lydia on the map. Right there. And that's Jerusalem. Oh, you have a little thing. Oh, hey. Like I said, I know nothing. this is good. Thank you, Sid. So anyway, from Jerusalem, keep my hands straight, to Lydia is about 20 miles. It's about 20 miles from Jerusalem. So in verse 32, he went through and came to Lydia, and he found a certain man by the name of Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." And he rose immediately. And all those who dwelt at Lydia and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now that is an interesting statement about Sharon, because Sharon was up in this area, up in here. And some people had come down to Lydia. This is the Valley of Sharon is now in Israel, the most populated section of Israel. So apparently some from that area had come down and were converted. Tremendous miracle that Peter performed through the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's pick up the story in verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydia was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. So here we find Joppa on the coast. Lydia and Joppa were only about 10 miles difference between the two. So it was closer than over in Jerusalem. And then a tremendous miracle took place. Peter rose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him up to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments that Dorcas had made while she was with him. And Peter put them all out, knelt down, and prayed, and turning to the bodies, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Tremendous miracle. Here was a tremendous miracle earlier of someone who was healed of paralysis, and now a lady coming back to life there in Joppa. And then he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many people believed on the Lord. So it was, he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon. It's in Joppa that Peter then received a vision, famous vision. Let's get the context in Acts 10 and verse 1. Now, a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Now, Caesarea, here's Joppa, and Caesarea was to the north. And that's almost 30 miles or so beyond. And let me see if I got that right. Yes. A little over 30 miles. But so you find that Cornelius, a centurion, a devout man, verse 2, who feared God with his household, prayed to God. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying, "Cornelius," and when he observed him, he was afraid, as any of us would be. "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." So when the angel who had spoke to him departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these to them, he sent them to Joppa. So they're coming down from Caesarea to Joppa. Peter now is getting hungry, as we see in verse 9. The next day, so they're coming down. The next day, Peter, we find in verse 9, goes up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became hungry and wanted to eat. And while they were making ready, he fell into this trance, which we'll see later was a vision, and he saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at all four corners, descending to him, and let it down to the earth. And all kinds were four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. So these were like pigs and lions and whatever, all kinds of bugs and unclean animals, because a voice said to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he said, "Not so. I've never eaten anything unclean or common." So these must have been unclean animals that he saw in this vision. And a voice spoke to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So that was his vision. Now, in verse 17, Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant. He wondered. He didn't go right away down to the seashore and gulp down a bunch of shrimp, or he didn't eat a ham sandwich. He wondered about it. What did this mean? So in verse 19, it says, while he thought about the vision. So he's still thinking about it. You see that there were these men that came. These three men that Cornelius had sent. And they asked whether Peter was lodging there. And while Peter's still thinking about this vision, the Spirit said, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." So God inspired through the Holy Spirit to go with these men. And that's what he did. He went. In verse 24, the following day, so they stayed that night here in Joppa. And the following day, they go up to Caesarea. Again, that's about 30 miles away. And in verse 24, Cornelius was waiting for them. He called together his friends and relatives, and Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet, but Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up. I'm a man like you are." And as he talked with them, he went in and found many who had come together. And then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to another nation." And again, notice where Caesarea is located. It's located in this area of Samaria. And Cornelius was a Roman. And a lot of his friends were Romans, Gentiles, and at that time, Jewish people did not eat together with Gentiles at that time. So he went on to say, "But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was asked for. What reason did you send for me?" Interesting. So Peter remembered what this vision had, what it meant, and that it wasn't talking about cleansing of food, but that God had called these people and revealed to them the truth, and that Peter was not to call them common or unclean. So that all happened between Joppa and Caesarea. So after that occurred, he comes from Caesarea all the way back down to Jerusalem. We pick that story up in Acts 11, verse 1. Then the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him. The Jews were saying, "You went into uncircumcised men and ate them." And then Peter explained to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in Joppa in this trance and in this vision, and an object descended," and he explains this whole vision and what happened. So he's in Jerusalem. Now, sometime later, we don't know exactly when, but we see Peter in Antioch. Now, first of all, I want to give credit where this map came from on this map, BibleMapper.com. That's where this map came from. So now we'll look at this second map, and this is a map from Lucidity Information Company. There it is. So let's look at Galatians 2, verse 11. Galatians 2, verse 11. Paul is writing to the Galatians here. Whole area up in this part, but it included this area as well. And some even down here. Here's Antioch. There was an Antioch further north, but this is the Antioch, apparently, where Paul and Peter met together. Galatians 2, verse 11. When Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those of the circumcision. So now, there is a possibility, so there's two Antiochs, that this is the Antioch that was being referred to because it was in the area of Galatia. But it's interesting to note that, as we'll see. See, as we read that Peter feared those of the Jews, and the rest of the Jews played the hypocrite, verse 13, with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Because what they were doing is that they were separating themselves from the Gentiles while they were eating with them all the time. But here, for some reason, you got James coming with some men from Jerusalem, and they're more than likely in this area. Why? And Galatians is up in this area. And you have Peter and Paul interacting together at this area. But there's an interesting comment that we read about these men from James. But we also see in Galatians 2, verse 7 through 9, a demarcation of responsibilities. On the contrary, verse 7, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcision had been committed to me as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, or Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision. So what you have is a demarcation of responsibilities where Paul, his work was mainly in this area here. Southern Turkey. For some reason, they kind of meshed right in here at that point in Galatia. But all these areas, we'll get to at another time when we go through Paul's travels. So then, where did Peter go? First of all, let's notice Acts 16, and in verse 6 through 10. Acts 16, verse 6 through 10. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach in Asia, which would have been up into this area here, way north in here. And even Pisidia, in other maps, you have Phrygia down in this area here near Derbe. So while they were there, they wanted to go up and preach in Asia. And then after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia. They wanted to go way up here near the Black Sea, Bithynia. That's where Paul wanted to go to preach the gospel. But then you find that the Spirit did not permit them. Passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And this is how we find Paul being moved by God's Spirit not to go up north, but over to Macedonia, as we see in verse 9, which Macedonia was Greece, over in this area. So a man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And after he'd seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach to the gospel to them. So he left off going into this whole area up here. Why is that? All right, let's look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. And in verse 1, then he's writing, and his audience is to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. That's up in this area. Cappadocia, even Pontus, all up in here. Why did he go here? Who was up in this area? And according, they were the elect, according to the foreknowledge of the God of Fathers. So apparently there were some members and believing Jews that became members, and churches were developed up there. It seems that this area is also where many of the descendants of Israel ended up. James 1, verse 1. Let's go back to the beginning of James. Go back a few pages and notice this. James 1, a bondservant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. It's kind of interesting, wasn't it, that James and Peter and Paul all met, kind of all in this section here. So James was writing to these people up here. Lost tribes of Israel, where many of them had ended up. So we believe that many of the disciples, including Peter and James, ended up preaching in that area, northern Turkey, just south of the Black Sea. Now, I want to note one secular tradition. And there's a lot of traditions out there. This one, though, this tradition is found in William Cave's book, Antiquities of the Apostles. And he quotes the Greek historian Metaphrastes, who says that Peter was, quote, a long time in Britain, where he converted many nations to the faith. Now, we have no biblical record of that. We don't know if that is a tradition based on fact or just some secular idea. Because there's other traditions out there. And the tradition that most people believe is that Peter ended up in Rome. And he became the first pope. That's the tradition many believe where he ended up. But did he live there? Did he preach there in Rome? We don't see any biblical indications that he was in Rome. Remember, there was the separation that Paul would preach to the Gentiles, Peter would preach to the Jews, the Israelites. And so it was Paul who was in Rome. And we could see that in the Bible. The Bible clearly states that Paul was in Rome. Additionally, I'd like us to consider the following 4 points. And this is from one of the Life, Hope, and Truth articles about the book of 1 Peter, written by Andre van Belkom. And he gave 4 points to consider. And we won't turn to the scriptures here, but in Romans 1, verse 11, it says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. So, Paul wrote to the Romans, I would like to impart to you some spiritual gifts so you could be established. Peter was the apostle before Paul. If Peter was truly in Rome, those spiritual gifts would have already been shared with the people in Rome, with the brethren in Rome. Otherwise, why would have Paul said, I will impart to you gifts so that you may be established? It was Paul who established those members there in Rome. All right, the second consideration. When you read Romans 16, Paul greets about 28 different people who were in Rome. But notably omitted was Peter's name. Now, if Peter were there, Paul would have addressed him as being part of the congregation there in Rome. But Peter wasn't there. Point number 3. Later in Paul's life, and this is according to Acts 28, it says that Paul dwelt 2 whole years imprisoned in Rome. 2 years. And he taught those who came to him to visit at the home. But there is no mention whatsoever of Peter ever visiting him. And, you know, if Peter were there, as any of us would, we would visit someone who was in prison and had an open facility where you could visit. So Peter is not even mentioned as visiting him there. And then one other one to consider is that, and this is in Romans 15, verse 20, where it says, and so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. So it goes back to that demarcation of responsibilities, that Paul would preach to the Gentiles and Peter would preach to the Jews and the Israelites. So he made it his aim not to preach where Christ was named, because why should I build on another man's foundation? Had he been preaching in Rome, he would have been preaching on Peter's foundation if Peter had preached there. But Peter did not preach there. So those are some of the considerations regarding that aspect. That's all that the Bible says about where Peter went. And some of the indications from 1 Peter, we see that he was writing to those members up in the northern part of Turkey. One wonders if there are still remnants of Church of God people up in that area. We don't know. We don't know. Only God knows, which will be a fascinating thing to consider once we find out the whole truth of that time. So next time, then, we're going to discuss some traditions where the other apostles possibly went and preached as well.